Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, all the way from Australia, it's Auriel Puigdemont, Motorsport.com's global MotoGP editor. And Yuri, how are things going for you over there?
Well, good here. We've been busy the last, 2 or 3 days. But, with good stuff, so yeah, we're good.
It's been very good stuff. It's been a very interesting sort of couple of days because, of course, the big news this week is it looks like Paul Espargaró is going to leave KTM and he's going to go to Honda for 2021, which I didn't see that one coming. I know it's been rumoured, but I didn't see it happening.
We found out that was actually happening. Anyway, it's a huge surprise, but at the same time, after think about it, I think maybe it's the right decision and the right move from Honda for everybody, for Alex, for Mark, even for, and it's a good, I mean, Paul is a really good rider. I mean, considering him and Mark at the same team, is one of the, it can be one of the toughest teams there. And I think he can complement quite well with Mark.
I agree with that. The excitement I have for this news, it's very similar to how excited I felt when Jorge Lorenzo was announced as joining Honda, which was another story that you and Herman broke a couple of years ago, if I seem to remember correctly. So I'm very excited for this lineup. And you're right, Paul, if there's a rider on the grid that's similar to Mark, it probably is Paul, given how he has to ride the KTM, you know, given what he's had to do in that bike. It seems if there is one equal, it would be Paul.
Well, but every time that you or I speak about Mark, you have to take a breath, because what he has achieved, I mean, I don't think there's anybody, and I mean anybody, on the current grid being able to equal him. So I think, I still believe that Paul is a really good rider, but don't forget that he hasn't won any race still in MotoGP, while Mark, I mean, you know, so that's what I mean. I mean, I think they're going to be a really good team, but probably Paul will struggle. To me, the best thing of this decision is that he was brave enough to take the way, to take the chance and say, okay, I go there, I go. In a way, it was quite similar than what Jorge did. But yeah, I think it's really, chapeau on him, because it's not an easy way to, it is not an easy challenge to accept. But I'm really excited about this move.
Yeah, it's a good point you raised there, because Paul, what he's doing essentially is stepping out of a team that is built around him. The whole KTM project is, it's his more or less, you know. That's KTM have put their full might behind him because they've seen him as the way forward. So to step out of that and to go into what is the lion's den in MotoGP, a bike that, you know, a bike that essentially killed Jorge Lorenzo's career for now, you know, a bike that a lot of riders have struggled on in recent years. You're right, it's a very, very brave decision.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really brave decision, and the sad part of this story is that Alex Marquez will be, let's say, demoted to from the Repsol Honda team before his first race, which I don't think, from the image point of view, is the best thing.
It definitely makes it clear that Honda saw Alex is very much just a temporary solution until they got someone for 2021. But the interesting thing here is how Mark will react to that, because
I think
we We believe that Alex was quite an integral part of Mark signing on for 4 years.
They are both, but they are both fully aware of that situation. I mean, if Honda made the approach with Paul, I'm 100% convinced that Mark and Alex were aware about it. So they're not gonna put that on risk. So and I think, I really believe that, like, a satellite team with a factory bike, with a factory support, but not in the same garage than Mark, is the best place for Alex.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
To me, it should have been last year. I mean, for this year, Alex racing with the LCR, but it was not possible at that time because Cal and Naka had contracts, and sponsoring wise, was not possible to put Cal in the Repsol.
Yeah, Cal, you mentioned Cal there. That's the one of the interesting effects of this Espargaró move, because, as you say, Alex Marquez will go to, more than likely will go to LCR next year. Now, the problem is there is that the second LCR bike for Taka, it's a team specifically for a Japanese rider. So unless Honda change that dynamic, and I suspect Dorna probably would be keen for them not to, they'll obviously want a Japanese rider. It doesn't leave any room for Cal Crutchlow, and that's a big shame, because Cal has been easily the second best Honda rider for the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, it is a shame. Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, he's been like suggesting or playing around with the idea of the retirement. So at some point, Honda has to take a decision, has to prioritize, its future. So considering the situation, considering Alex was arriving, considering the possibility of signing Paul, maybe, I say maybe because I don't know at this stage, but maybe they have made them, you know, the statement to say, okay, you were thinking on retiring. So at this point, we cannot take any more risk, or we cannot wait because we have this possibility on the table. We need to fix the team for the next 2 years, so we don't have time to wait for you, to be waiting for you. So, but again, it's just my guessing. I'm I don't have any information.
It is a fair point there, because Cal, when he signed his current contract at the time, he did say it would maybe be his last. But over the winter, he did kind of make it plain that he was hoping to continue. He'd said he'd started discussions with Honda, with LCR, and he claimed a couple of other teams as well. But now, if he was planning to continue, it looks like the decision has been made for him that he will maybe have to retire now, because there's no other options unless KTM came knocking, but I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either, because I mean, if there was a problem, if there was a sponsoring problem, sponsors problem last year with his hypothetical move to Repsol, the problem is even bigger with KTM, because he's been a monster rider for a long time. I don't know if all his career, but for a long time. And then switching to a Red Bull environment, I don't think is a possibility at the moment. But you never know. It depends on the budget. It depends on anything. I mean, we've seen things like that. I mean, 2 years ago, Jorge was a monster rider and changed to Red Bull like this. So it can happen again, but with Cal, I think it's a bit more difficult.
I think as well, you have to question whether he would want to go to KTM. a project that isn't a race winning package yet, you know, that still needs development. Realistically, his next contract will likely be his last. So would KTM want someone there for just 2 years, knowing that he's going to retire after that? You know,
well, yeah, but I mean, in that regard, I think that Khalid can be a really good asset for a manufacturer like KTM, because don't forget that he has ridden all the bikes on the grid. So, well, not Aprilia, but anyway, or Suzuki, but Yamaha, Ducati, Honda. So it would be a really good asset for KTM. But, yeah, as you say, I don't know if he's in that mental, zone at the moment to accept and to go from a potential race winner to hard worker, or I don't know how to say developing project. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's difficult to see. Andrea Dovizioso, Yuri, because where there's still a bit of dilly-dallying on his part with Ducati over money. He had been linked to KTM before. Now there is a KTM seat. KTM need a big rider. Dovi's a big rider. Dovi's a Red Bull rider. There is some suggestion that maybe KTM would go for a play for Dovizioso. What's your take on that?
My feeling is that, well, it's not a feeling. This is, I know that Ducati is pretty, let's say, secure. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sure that KTM is not interested. Is not interested on Dovi. Because of a budget situation, because of many other things. But as far as I know, Ducati, in Ducati, are relaxed about this possibility. They are not afraid about this possibility. So at this time, I think Ducati has given Dovi some time to think about it. He has the offer. They are pretty much agreed, let's say, the economical part of this 2020, which was the first problem to solve before starting negotiations for the next contract. And as far as I know, this problem is pretty much solved.
Okay.
They were still waiting for the final decision from the factory, but yeah, it's more or less solved. So now they have decided to give Dovi a bit of time to think about it, because maybe they are not 100% sure in which mental moment he is. So don't forget that for him it's not easy, and I 100% understand that going from a 6 million contract, the first contract that he believes is really what he deserves, you know, he takes like gives him the credit that he really believes. So going from a 6 million contract to, let's say, I don't know, I know that he was in around 6 million contract, 6 million euros a year contract, okay? So going from that to much less money, because I know that is much less, I don't know if it's 2, 3, 3.5, but it has to be around that maximum. So make that switch is not easy.
Yeah.
So maybe at some point he decides, okay, it's not worth it to keep taking that risk to put you know, all the things together. So that's why they have decided to wait, to let him think, and then he will make a decision if he wants to continue, if he wants. I don't see him taking other direction, and I can be wrong, but I don't see him signing for Aprilia or, you know, so because I don't see Aprilia giving him more money than Ducati or, you know, and with the Ducati, he will be more competitive than with the Aprilia. Still, I mean, at least at the time. Same with KTM. KTM has no crazy budget to spend on a rider. So what's the point? So I think it's more a Dovi's decision than anything else.
Okay. So assuming that Dovizioso does stay at Ducati, that leaves KTM with quite a big problem still because...
I think we're gonna be all around this KTM seat.
Yeah,
I mean we can try to approach in different ways, but this second KTM will be always free.
Because KTM had a bit of a bad week, to be honest. They got punched in the stomach by Ducati for we think have agreed a contract with Jorge Martin. To pull him out more too. And now, of course, we know that Honda's pulled him away from KTM, so that's another kick in the face. But the options are limited. There aren't any big name riders around that would either want that seat or are good enough for it. The only, as we mentioned, Cal, but we don't think that's going to happen. So the only rider going, race winning rider available is Petrucci. But
I see Petrucci much closer to Aprilia than to KTM.
Yeah, so do I.
He's been offered to Aprilia, which is 100%, I mean, understandable. He's Italian, and don't forget that to me, it would be a really, really, really good team with Aleix and Danilo.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty strong, both hard workers, both fast riders if they are in that, you know, mood, but those days that you say, whoa, this guy today is fast. So both can go into that moment. And there's not many options other than I think. Well, I know that KTM is trying to do more than 100% to keep Jorge Martin. Mm-hmm. That's what they want, to try to keep at any price Jorge Martin. But, I mean, after what we wrote, we've seen Martin's manager quotes saying that they are expecting to sign the contract as soon as possible, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, and to me, I don't know if it's the most intelligent step or decision to try to keep a rider that doesn't want to ride your bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From a manufacturer's point of view, I don't know if it's the smart decision to try to retain a rider when he and when everybody knows that he wants to leave.
It's not quite the same situation, but it's if you look at Aprilia in 2015 when they took Melandri out of World Superbikes when he really didn't want to go to MotoGP and it stopped his career for 1.5 years. So you're right. And for a young rider, particularly like Martin.
And the problem with KTM is that don't forget that, I mean, it's the same for everybody, right? But with the current regulations, I mean, the engines and the bike development will be almost frozen for 2 years. I mean, this year and until the end of next year, which means that KTM will be at that level for 2 years. So I can assume that you any rider would love to have the best possible package for this year and for next year. Mm-hmm. So if you have two options, I would go for Ducati 100% because Martin will have the full factory Ducati because the bikes, all the four bikes will be the same, both Pramac and both Philip Morris.
Yeah.
Well, mission we know. So, so I would, I understand 100% which bike Martins want to ride on. So, and if you sign for KTM, you will be 2 years with the same bike fighting in a much lower positions, theoretically, than with Ducati. So I 100% understand this point.
So KTM, as my understanding was the rule, the concession teams would be allowed to do normal development as after the first race from next year. So or is that not the case now?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. So you have to think anyway, they wouldn't be able to afford a lot of
in the last Grand Prix Commission, they have agreed that they can develop, because Aprilia was asking for that, they can develop the engine until the 29th, if I'm not wrong, of June. Mm-hmm. Pete Bader told me that KTM was not going to make any modification to the engine because it was his word on the last or one of the last Grand Prix commissions. But Aprilia did because they were having really hard reliability problems on the new engine. So that's why the other manufacturers give them, the concession teams, the possibility of modify the engines only until the 29th of June.
So I'm going to throw a couple of names out there at the wall. Assuming that Jorge Martin doesn't get saved by KTM, which won't happen anyway, as you've just mentioned, your options then, KTM's options then, are real. The only two options really, Mika Kallio or Danny Pedrosa. And we know Danny doesn't want to come out of retirement, do you want Kallio on the bike after his performances last year? I would say no. I wouldn't. As good a test rider as he is.
Yeah, but it's not what you prefer or what I prefer or what KTM prefers. It's that they are running out of options. So at some point, they will have to make a decision. Now they are exploring the best decisions. But if those best or good or good possibilities are not possibilities anymore, so they will have to step down and say, okay, and now, I mean, they have to put somebody on the bike. Mm-hmm. So I think they will have to start thinking on other possibilities. Don't forget that Giannone is not racing, so Bradley will be racing for Aprilia, and until the TAS or the CAS says something about his story. And KTM is not in a good situation at the moment. That's why Pete Bader has been, I mean, we haven't heard from him in the last days. I think he's very busy.
I'm going to throw another name out there because invariably he's going to get mentioned, so we might as well mention it now just to make sure we're on top of everything. Jorge Lorenzo.
Yeah, and Luis, sorry, just one more thing about KTM. Don't forget that KTM and Honda and Peter and Puig especially don't really like each other.
No, so they absolutely hate each other.
I think this move from Honda will, let's say, will make them anger escalate a bit more.
I did suspect when I saw the news that there was a little bit of spite was driving this particular move from Honda, you know, just to stick the knife in at KTM a little bit.
At the same time, I think KTM needs to learn from their mistakes. It's not the first time. I mean, when you have a MotoGP project, a factory project, and two of your main assets want to leave the team, maybe you have to rethink your way to manage the team. Maybe there's something that you can adjust or you can do it better. That's what I would think if it happened to me. It's not one rider. It's the two most probably or two of your most valuable riders that are leave for a different project. So maybe it would be good if somebody in KTM say, whoa, 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 what is happening here? Maybe we have to change some things. Sorry about that.
Jorge Lorenzo, do you think Pit Byer will be on the phone to the Spaniard? I mean, he's not got many options, so he might as well have see what Jorge says.
Well, he said the other day in one of the 1500 interviews he has given in the last 2 weeks, that he only would come back. He only would come back with a winning bike or with a winning project. And I don't see at the moment happening with KTM. So it wouldn't make really any sense to me. I mean, why putting, I mean, he's living really good now. He's enjoying, he's, you know, he has contract. I don't know if Yamaha will keep his contract for next year, but I think he's in really good, he's in living the dream. He's, he has money. He's buying a really crazy and expensive and fast and fashion cars. So, I don't see why he needs. And don't forget that when a rider retires, it's not easy to make the switch again to the, So he was thinking on make this wildcard in Montmeló because Montmeló is one of his favorite tracks. He probably, I spoke with Mark at some point of the pre-season in a hotel, and he told me, I'm 100% sure that Jorge will be fast if he does this wildcard in Montmeló. And he gave me his argumentations, and when when a rider or when a champion like him gives these arguments, you have to say okay. So because he told me, listen, in a test it is a bit more difficult because it's too much, it's much more demanding, and that, but in a race we can. So he goes out four laps, go in, three laps, go. So, and then the only critical moment is the race. But in a race, you can, do the rest. I don't see him coming back at the moment, to be honest.
No, neither do I. I didn't think he would be considering KTM. I just didn't want anyone to tweet me going, oh, what about Jorge? We've cleared that up. It's not going to happen. We can move on now.
Well, it's not going to happen. You know, anything can happen, but it would be really strange. I mean, I'm not saying that if one Yamaha factory is free, he would say no. And to be honest, I don't see Dovi leaves. I don't see Ducati signing him again. I don't see Domenicali sitting down with him again.
No, I don't know. I don't know about KTM anymore. I think they're in a really tricky situation. And
don't even KTM. I don't think. Yeah, not even KTM. At the moment what they're going to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be running KTM right now. It's not a job I'd like.
No, because from the image point of view, it's really tough to accept that. And that's why I say that maybe somebody would need to make, I don't know how to say in English, but in Spanish we say auto, you know, to think about what...
Outside the box?
Well, no, to think about what have you done wrong.
To analyze the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, because it's 100%, I'm 100% sure that something is not really in the right path.
Definitely will be an interesting one to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. I don't think there's any more riders to talk about. I think we've covered everyone apart from, you know, the World Superbike grid now, so I think we could.
Yeah,
we could. Who knows? Someone, Scott Redding, Toprak.
Well,
you never know.
You never know exactly. So, I don't see KTM making an approach to Johnny Ray or
That would be good, though, wouldn't it? That would be, yeah. That would be good. Jonathan Rea, full MotoGP factory contract. That would be nice. I actually wrote about a feature about Jonathan Rea the other day, talking about these two wild cards. So I'd very much like to see it happen again.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to take that risk to put himself in a KTM at the moment.
Yeah, it would have to be a massive money offer. Like,
yeah,
you know, pretty much just giving him the Red Bull empire.
I don't think this happening.
I think on that note we'll end it there. My thanks to Yuri as ever, and my thanks to Yuri especially, and of course our colleagues on the Spanish side for the amazing work they've done this week on breaking the Martin story, on the Paul Espargaro story. Fantastic work there. Make sure you're tuned to Autosport, motorsport.com. Going to be writing tons of stuff over the next few days. Yuri's going to be working hard on a couple of features. I've got no relevant features. They're all about 2012. So, you know, if you're into I don't know what it is about 2012. I just seem to be really interested in feature topics. Anyway, there's plenty to be done on those websites. So go and do that. If you like the podcast, go and give us a listen on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. They're all there. We'll be back soon to talk more things. We're getting closer and closer to racing, so hopefully we can actually talk about some racing soon. Fingers crossed. But yeah, until then, it's a very warm goodbye, and please do keep taking care of yourselves.